All right, 1 Kings, chapter number 20, beginning at verse number 1. I have the Amplified Classic version of the scriptures, but you can follow along in any version of the scriptures that you have. This is what it says, beginning at verse number 1. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army together. 32 kings were with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria, warring against it. Verse 2 says, he sent messengers into Samaria to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, thus says Ben-Hadad, verse 3, your silver and your gold are mine, your wives and your children, even the fairest also are mine. Verse 4, and the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, according to what you say, I am yours and all that I have. As I was looking at this and thinking about our topic, here in this fourth verse, after being surrounded by Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and his army, 32 kings that were with him and all that great host, and he declared, send a message to Ahab and let him know everything he got is mine, everything. And the king answered, the king of Israel, basically he said, my lord, O king, according to what you say, I'm yours and all that I have. To me, when I was looking at that, that looked like a total surrender. He said, everything I have, you're right, King. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, total surrender. Total surrender. I believe that God wants total surrender from his people. I sincerely believe that this is somewhat difficult in today's day and time with all the things that we have going for us humanly, with all the resources and things that we can do to get certain things done, and with the abilities that God has blessed us with, sometimes we forget that we are actually totally dependent on God. And we think because of our intelligence or our ingenuity that we can accomplish certain things. And it's only by God's grace. It's only by his mercy. It's only by his goodness that we do what we do. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can slack, if you will, in our minds of being totally surrendered to God. Scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. There's a lot of people who don't have a problem walking by sight. Because they figure if I can see it, you know, or if it makes sense to me, then it sounds reasonable. It seems logical that I can do this or that or have this or that. But especially I feel in this day and time that we are living in, God desires and requires total surrender. Give up. And then we struggle with that, truth be told, because we think we know what to do. So as I'm looking at this, then questions hit my mind. What does that look like? What does total surrender look like? How is that lived out? How is that lived out? I found something in the second chapter of Acts. Walk with me there. The second chapter of Acts. And we know that Acts is the historical book of the New Testament. It's the action of the apostles, Acts of the Apostles. And this is when the New Testament church began here. And Peter, the apostle Peter, being the pre-appointed spokesman, remember Jesus in the Gospels, he asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And there were various answers. And then Peter said, "Thou art the Christ. You are the Messiah. You're the one we've been looking for, the Son of the living God." And Jesus told him, he said, "You're blessed because you didn't get this from humans." He said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven." He said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So he was the pre-appointed person to preach the first sermon in the New Testament church. So while Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and there were at that particular time people from all over the known world at that time, and they heard those Galileans speaking in tongues. They heard those Galileans in their own language. They heard them glorifying, praising, and magnifying God. So when the Holy Ghost comes, this is what the Holy Ghost will do. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and you will be magnifying and praising and glorifying God. And so they asked them, they said, what's this? These folks are drunk. But Peter got up and he preached. He said, "These men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that," pointing them back to the scriptures that they already had. "This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy." So I like the fact that he pointed them back to the scriptures. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, if any person receives the Holy Ghost and they don't get it like the scriptures, then there's a question, because this is that. It's the same spirit. So when you get the Holy Ghost, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance, without a doubt, without a doubt. But when he preached this, and he was preaching to some Jewish folk, and he told them how they had crucified Jesus Christ. They had with wicked hands crucified Jesus. And then Peter said, "The same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ." And so we get the verse number 37. It's familiar to us, but we get the verse number 37 in the Amplified Classic, Acts chapter 2. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were stung, cut to the heart." One version says pricked. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, the special messengers, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Now that sounds like a surrender to me. They said, "What shall we do?" After hearing the gospel, after hearing the gospel message, and after believing the gospel message, and after realizing the guilt of their sin, they asked the question that proved that they were repentant. They said, "What shall we do?" And this is in my mind, an example of total surrender. When you come face to face with the knowledge that you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, when you come face to face with the realization that God came as Jesus Christ and went to the cross of Calvary, and he paid the price for your sin. When you come to the place where you believe that God doesn't want you to perish and die in your sins, but when you come to the place where you believe and you put your faith and your confidence in the life and the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and know that he took all of humanity's sins that were poured upon him. He took upon him the sins of all mankind, and God poured his wrath. The anger of God was poured on Jesus Christ. And when you realize that the man Christ Jesus did that for every last one of us, and when you make that personal, then God, I believe, gives you the faith and the sense to say, what shall I do? Oh, how many remember of the day or the moment that you made up your mind, I need to be saved, and I don't care what it takes for me to be saved. Just tell me what I have to do. This was the state of these men when they heard the preaching of the gospel. This is, I believe, an example of total surrender. They weren't arguing about their Jewish tradition. Now, you got to remember that these were Jews, so they were religious people, but when they got exposed to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, their religious tradition did not make a difference. God had cut them in their heart, and when they saw that they were indeed in danger and peril of not receiving this gracious salvation gift of Jesus Christ, they said, that's it. We're giving up. What shall we do? Just tell me, and we know what Peter told them. But I got to get another example of what total surrender looks like. Look at Acts, the 9th chapter. Acts, the 9th chapter, and around verse number 5. At verse number 5, here we see Saul having authority from the religious leaders of his day, and he was confiscating and arresting people who were teaching and preaching and believing in the name of Jesus. So here he is with the authority of the religious society of his day, in the Jews' religion, locking folks up, persecuting the church, because he thought he was working for God. Sometimes you can be sincere in your intentions, but you can be sincerely wrong. And that was his condition at that particular time. And there was an encounter as he was on the road to Damascus. There was an encounter that he had with God. God, give somebody an encounter today. If they're sitting in the building or if they're on the online campus, God, we're asking that you would encounter somebody today, that you would break into their schedule of their mind, and that you would speak to them just like you spoke to Paul, Saul here. So in verse number 5 of chapter number 9, and Saul said, who are you, Lord? Because God, Jesus spoke to him and said, why are you persecuting me? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is dangerous, and it will turn out badly for you to keep kicking against the goad, to offer vain and perilous resistance. Listen, friend or enemy, if you're here, it is dangerous, and it will turn out badly for you if you keep resisting Jesus Christ, if you keep fighting, if you keep holding on to your own mind and being stubborn and saying, I ain't got to do that, I ain't got to do that, I'm just going to do what I want to do, I ain't hurting nobody. You're hurting yourself. That's what's going on. Verse number 6, he said, trembling and astonished, he asked, here's the surrender part, Lord, what do you desire me to do? So here we see another example of a total surrender. When he found out that he was persecuting Jesus,
That was it. This was a religious man. This was an intelligent man. But when he had an encounter with the Lord of glory, when he had an encounter with the one that he was persecuting, he said, "What do you desire me to do?" The last part of verse 6, the Lord said to him, "But arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." I'm glad you're here this morning, because we won't tell you what you need to do. You need to give up. You need to surrender. And I like what Paul did, and I like what the brothers did, excuse me, on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't a half-baked surrender. It was a total surrender. Paul surrendered so much that the folks didn't even believe that it was really him at one time. They were like, what is this to Ananias? If you continue to read, Ananias said, "Wait a minute, I heard about him. And God, you gonna send me to him?" Paul had totally surrendered. And that's what God is expecting from somebody today. Well, actually, from everybody today, God is expecting total surrender. Paul wrote in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, very familiar passage. He said, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God." Think about for a minute. There's a comma there. Let's think about the mercies of God. Think about now. Think about how merciful God has been to you. Just think about it. Think about it. Think about how merciful and gracious he was to provide salvation for all mankind, you included, before we even got here. Think about how God allowed the gospel to be preached throughout the years, and it was still being preached and is still being preached for those of us who can receive it and will receive it. He said, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies." You got to make up your mind of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice. That's what total surrender looks like. I'm giving up. I am not holding on to my own ideas. I'm not holding on to what's ever popular. But when I think about the mercies of God, when I think about the goodness of God, when I think about the grace of God, how I could have died out there, how you could have died out there when you were in your sins, how you was running around doing this and doing that, how we were, some of us, or most of us, was living wild and foul out there for a long while, but God in his grace and his mercy spared our lives. How come you didn't get shot? How come you was able to walk away from that car accident? How come you didn't get arrested? Well, some of us did, but how come you didn't have to do all the time that you truly earned? God's mercies, God's grace. He said, I'm appealing to you to make a decisive decision of dedicating all that you are, your members, your bodies, and your faculties, your mind, as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. It just makes good sense to totally surrender to God. But some are still fighting. "I ain't gonna give in. I ain't gonna give in." All right, all right. You listen, if you want eternal life, if you want your sins washed away, you got to surrender. Then he said in verse 2, Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to this world," not to this age. And this world has a lot of things that attracts human beings. A lot of things that try to pull your mind away from God. There's so many things. They are too numerous to name. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, to this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, because they change. They change. You know, there's fads that come, and they have slogans that appeal to the flesh. Yes, they do. And they try to do it sometimes subtly, or they try to do it overtly. But it's the world. But God is saying through Paul, he says, don't be conformed to this age. Everybody ain't doing it. You have not met everybody. Well, you know what they say. Bring they to me. I haven't met they or them yet. Put a name on they or them. Well, you know, they, that's a cop-out. They. Who is they? Have you met they? No, you haven't. That's a trick of the enemy. He says, but be transformed, be changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. This is an individual walk. You got to totally surrender. You got to totally surrender. Y'all remember when we had the men's choir? Okay, I'm going way back. I'm going way back. Some of y'all wasn't even here. But we dared to sing a song. And the song said, all the way. I'm going all the way. Hold on, wait a minute. All right. Y'all remember that? All the way. I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way with the Lord. I've drawn the line. I'm going all the way. No turning back. We sang it. It sounded good. You can sway to it. It sounded good. We even had some melodious, famous voices singing it. But what happened? Some of us went halfway, three quarters of the way, but not all the way. That's an everyday commitment. That's what total surrender looks like, really going all the way with the Lord. So now we move to Hebrews chapter number 12. And Hebrews chapter number 12 sheds a little light on this total surrender, because Hebrews chapter number 12, chapter 12, verse number 1, starts off with therefore then. And anytime, it's a good thing, anytime you see a therefore, you need to go and find out what the therefore is there for. And the therefore then in Hebrews 12 is talking about what was discussed and declared in Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it records what we call the heroes of faith. And so it talks about how they exercised faith, how they lived by faith, how they were totally surrendered to do the will of God. And some of them did not receive the promise that we have received here in the New Testament church. They did not receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, but they still had the faith to be recorded in this book of Hebrews. So when the writer says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and the sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. There's a lot there. He's saying, look back at the testimonies of those heroes of faith. Look back at the Hebrew boys. Look back at Daniel and the rest of them who put their faith in God, who totally surrendered and put their life in the hands of a God who could and did deliver them. We have their testimonies, and it's the same God that they served. It's the same God that we're supposed to be serving, and God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So the same God that delivered them is the same God that will deliver us. He is the very same God. So he said we have to strip off and lay aside every encumbrance and unnecessary weight. I want you to look in your own heart and look into your own mind and see some of the things that you are carrying, some of the things that you are worrying about. They are unnecessary weights. Listen, God knows what's best for us, and there is some things that we don't have to worry about if we totally surrender to God. He said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things you're worrying about, the things you're stressing about, the things you're anxious about, God said, all these things, they will be added unto you. So we got to deal with and get rid of every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight, and that sin. You got a that sin, and so do I. That's the one that we need to work on. Glory, I hope you don't got those sins, but I know you got a that sin, because that's what the word of God says. And just in case you might want to get a self-righteous spirit, Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible said if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, then we make God a liar. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And that sin is clever. That sin clings to like a sock in the back of the dryer, and you're trying to get it out. You got to bend down and get that one sock. All the other clothes, they done tumbled when the dryer stopped and they got to the front, but there is that one sock in the dryer that you got to bend down, Lord have mercy, and reach way in the back and pull that clinging sock out of the dryer. What are you trying to say? There's that sin that's clinging, that's trying to hold you in its grasp, that's trying to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. That sin, I like what Hebrew said. It said it clings to and entangles us. All of us got to reach in the dryer of our lives and get that sin out of there. Might have to put it back in the washer since it ain't acting right, and wash ourselves with the word of God. And then he said, and let us run with patient endurance. Listen, we got to run this race and steady and active persistence, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. All of us are in a race, but we didn't map out the route. God mapped out the route for us. And since he mapped it out for us, Jesus himself showed us how to run. He is the only one that was in heaven, came down from heaven, lived for 33 and a half years, showed us how to please God, and then went back up into heaven. So if anyone knows how to get to the finish line running this race, it's the man Christ Jesus. And we have to run the appointed course Oh, glory. You can't run my race. I can't run your race, but we all got to run. Y'all taught me a song years ago. I'm running for my life. If anybody asks you, what's the matter? See, it ain't wrong. There ain't nothing wrong, but there's a matter. They asked you, what's the matter with me? Tell them I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I got Jesus on my mind, and I'm running for my life. And oh glory, this race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to those that trust in Jesus. And you feel like going on. Can I rephrase that? I'm going on whether I feel like it or not. For sometimes it's not about a feeling, because if it was left up to feeling, nobody would totally surrender. Can you get me some scripture for that? Oh, yes, I will. Here we go. Take a trip with me to the Garden of Gethsemane. And here we see Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Here we see him in his early ministry. He said out of his own mouth, the Son of Man has come to give his life a ransom for many. The disciples at that time didn't understand it. He told them at another time, we're going up to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me. They're going to beat me. They're going to kill me. But I'm getting up on the third day, and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. Here Jesus said out of his own mouth in the scriptures, I know that God hears my prayer, because I do everything to please him. This same Jesus had to get to his Gethsemane moment. And the Bible said he was in Gethsemane. He told his disciples, he said, y'all, just hang out with me. I'm paraphrasing. It's in Matthew. You can check it out. He had his boys with him, if you will, and said, y'all just watch. And I'm finna go over here and pray. He went and prayed and said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Wait a minute. Didn't you say you came to die? Didn't you say they was going to kill you and get up? You was going to get up 3 days later. Yes. But Jesus, our faithful high priest, had to experience everything that we experience. Sometimes we know what God says. Sometimes we know what God's plan is, but we don't want to do it for some reason. I'm so glad that he is our high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So he prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Meaning, I know what I said. I know how you sent me, but I really don't want to do this. If anybody can get a prayer through, it's Jesus. But he prayed and he prayed. He prayed hard, but he said, but not as I will, but thy will. Came back the first time. His boys were asleep. Wait a minute. I thought y'all was my homeboys. I thought y'all was my road dogs. Y'all couldn't watch with? Yeah, we got your back. Peter, you said, no. Oh, no. They ain't going to do that to you. But listen, his homeboys were sleeping. They were sleeping. Jesus said, you couldn't watch with me for 1 hour. He went back and prayed again. The second time. Same prayer. God, if it's possible, let this cup pass. I really don't want to do it. I really don't want to do it. But Lord, if I have to, let your will be done. Went back, Them boys were snoring this time. Sleep again. He said, watch, watch that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be careful. Be alert. Don't you trust or put any confidence in your flesh. Went back again. Jesus, the third time. Lord, have mercy. This is telling us, if you don't get the answer, pray again. You don't get the answer, pray again. Listen, the answer might not change, but you will change. Oh, glory. That's what Jesus did the third time, praying the same prayer. Father, if it's possible, please let this cup pass, but not as I will. Thy will be done. He came back. He told his boys, y'all go ahead, sleep. Sleep on. Take your rest. This is my race. This is my course. He told them, all right, y'all wake up. Here they come. Here they come to arrest me. But what I wanted us to see is the example of Jesus's total surrender. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. And how many times do we face things for God that we don't really want to do? Now that will preach. How many times do we face things knowing this is what God wants, but we ain't doing it? God is that you know it's God. God, did you say that to me? Yes, he's talking to you, called you by your name in your heart and in your mind. He said, you need to do this. I ain't doing that. You need to go and talk to her. No, I ain't. You need to go see about him. I ain't. No, let him call me first. They ought to apologize. Sinners sin. Don't look for a sinner to do nothing but sin. It ain't no acting saved. Either you saved or you ain't. You say no act. Acting is for hypocrites. So what are you trying to say? God wants total surrender. Either he's Lord of all or not at all. Come on. God wants total surrender. He wants total. We got to give up some stuff. All right, I'm going to turn around. Sorry, I won't see you raise your hand. But I'm turning back around. Who got some stuff they need to get rid of? See, I don't have my glasses on, so you just look fuzzy. I just see fuzzy hands. All right, put them down. Put them down. But who's willing? Who's willing? Who's willing to totally surrender? See, now not that many hands went up. Well, at least you're being honest, because God desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, he shall make me to know wisdom. That's the word of God. So thank you for your honesty. But can I tell you something? You want total victory? You got to give God total surrender. I feel like God has deputized me and put me on his Holy Ghost SWAT team. All right, we're going to see. We're going to see. And you know how, well, some of you all might not have experienced this, but you know how when SWAT is deployed in your neighborhood, or hopefully not to your house, and, you know, SWAT is one of the most highly trained law enforcement units of any city, especially L.A. A lot of police forces come to L.A. for SWAT training, and then they deploy. They deploy, and they usually get on the PA before they breach. I mean, before they go into the house, breach, that's what the terminology is. And they say, I'm not gonna call your name, but they say,
We have you surrounded. Come out with your hands up. God has deputized us as his Holy Ghost SWAT team. There's people that are surrounded right now by a cloud of witnesses that God can deliver from any habit. If it's drugs, God can deliver. Huh? If it's alcohol, God can deliver. If it's fornication, God can deliver. If it's adultery, God can deliver. If it's lying, stealing, God can deliver. One of the verses says, we have so great a cloud of witnesses. Huh? So even you on the online campus, you're still surrounded. Huh? And the Holy Ghost SWAT team is here to tell you, come out with your hands up. We got you surrounded. We got you surrounded. Huh? God has been too good to us. He's been now. Sometimes they say, come out, or we're gonna send the dogs in. But we don't want to send no dogs for you. We don't want the hellhounds to get you. But God is saying, you've been fighting long enough. Come on out with your hands up. You want the Holy Ghost? Come out with your hands up. You want victory over that sin? You want victory over that addiction? Come out with your hands up. You want victory over that sin? Come out with your hands up. We got you surrounded. You're surrounded. There's no escape. Might have to deploy some Holy Ghost tear gas. You can come down crying. That's all right. But we want to shoot that canister where it hits your heart. That's what we want. We want that word to do like they did on the day of Pentecost. Cut you in your heart. And when you realize how good God is, how kind God is, how gracious God is, how forgiving God is, how long-suffering and patient God has been with you, come out with your hands up and say, all right, what must I do? What must I do? When you ask that type of question, that's repentance working in your heart already. God's drawing you with the cords of love. He's sending the battering ram of the Holy Ghost and the Word to your heart. Sometimes you have, some folks have the audacity to have those reinforced doors. Yeah, we there. And then, you know, when they try to breach, boom, oh, they can't. All right, go get Betty. Well, how you know all this? Just trust me. Betty is that battering ram. And they take that battering ram, boom, knock the door off the hinges. Do you know the lengths that God will go to save one person? God will take the battering ram and batter all those false precepts and concepts in your mind and in your heart because he wants to save you. He'll bust through all that phony stuff and say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Somebody needs to surrender today. I'm through. But God ain't through. He's not willing that any should perish. No. He wants total surrender. And some of us have kind of walked back a little bit and said, well, you know, I'm saved. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. But some of us has taken a little step back because we think it's costing us too much. It costs Jesus everything. What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world, lose his soul? What scripture says, we have not shed blood striving against sin, but Jesus did. He shed his precious blood for our sin. Total surrender. That's what God wants. That's the only thing that he will accept. You can't meet God halfway. God don't work like that. Meet you halfway. Yeah, that sounds good in human relationships. And a lot of times that don't work in human relationships. Because your half is bigger than my half. How is that? What? Fractions, y'all. Come on. A half is a half. But you see how warped our human reasoning is without the Spirit of God? God wants total surrender. That's all he wants. That's all he will, I believe, respond to. It's not about faking. It's about being real with God.